Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here with part four.
The final part of the Sex and the City movies.
Yeah. Well, movie, first one.
Oh, yeah.
So we have four girls walking in the snow. Samantha almost slips. For the record, the snow is fake. I guess it was very cold, but the snow is fake here.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like in New York, it's cold. It gets very, very cold. But even this past year, there wasn't like a ton of snow. There have been a few years where it's been like crazy snow. And they talk about it being spring. And I'm like, yeah, this is right. It's like this in spring. So they go to Fashion Week. They have front row seats.
Samantha had to pull some strings.
And this is when I was like, oh, this is sponsored by Vitamin Water, which is owned by Smart Water. So it all makes very much sense because there's vitamin water on like everyone's chair.
And I guess that Michael Patrick King did not like Carrie's outfit, or at least he fought it because it's very like feathery and big. And he thought it was too ostentatious.
Okay, but look at what's going on that Fashion Week stage.
Right. And I think it's because he thought that she would still be more subdued than
like her emotions.
Right. But Patricia Field, I don't know, or maybe it was argued that this was Carrie emerging, that this was like Carrie getting back to the old Carrie.
Miranda's like, so this is what you all do while, you know, I'm with Steve at the aquarium. And Brady.
And you can tell that she you can tell that she accidentally brings him up.
Yeah. And you can tell that she kind of like is thinking of him fondly.
Right.
And I'm not going to do the Phantom reference. but you can tell she talks about Steve as a dolphin, which I love.
Steve does the funniest dolphin impression. Actually, it's more Steve as a dolphin.
Yeah, and then she catches herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Charlotte asks, like, can you really not forgive him? And Miranda says, well, should Carrie forgive Big? And then I do love that Charlotte sort of shares a running into Big fantasy.
Yeah, where she says, I curse the day you were born. Which reminds us, we have a mutual friend who often talks about how he would get into a fight with another mutual friend of ours in the shower and like practice what he was going to say about him.
Yeah, for the record, they didn't have a fight in the shower.
And they never had a fight, really. But he was like, I get mad at him so much when I'm in the shower.
That he would like practice arguing with him, which is pretty great. Yeah, I wrote, it's a bit much, but I get it. And the fashion show starts, and Carrie feels like herself again. And this is Vivian Westwood, for the record. That's who these clothes are. And at one point, the point of it was that there was going to be the wedding dress.
Oh, that would be good.
But they just decided, like, you know what? I think we're coming out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that we don't want to revisit. We're moving past. And so they chose not to do that. But that was the original purpose of it being Vivian Westwood. And we get outside there, and we see some protesters, mm-hmm. which, like, should be foreshadowing. I don't know if you see where it's going ahead of time. But, you know, Samantha gets her fur splashed.
And she's like, God, I love New York.
I love that she's unfazed. I also don't know these actresses. It's Henrietta Mantel and Nancy Shane. I'm just saying their names because they're really funny in this scene to me. Mm. Carrie meets up with Louise and Will, who are back together. It's a short little scene because now it's Valentine's Day. And we continue the Lily-loving Cinderella theme where Carrie gets a piece of mail. And did you think for a moment that it was from Big?
I did.
Yeah, it's what it's supposed to be. It has that moment of like, did Big send her a Valentine? And it's not. And it's from Lily. But I think the idea was it was sort of Charlotte's way of bringing it up.
Right.
Charlotte's way of like, hope you're okay.
And Carrie's still not really unpacked, if you notice.
She's still kind of working on it. She's still not done. It's a process. And Samantha calls to make sure that Carrie's okay. Carrie says she has plans with Miranda, and Samantha's making sushi, and she's going to make sushi and then lay on the table with sushi all over her body. And I wrote, this is a very timing specific plan.
Yeah. And like, how is she getting all of those pieces where they are? Like, that is a real thing. I've heard like there are models and you can like eat sushi off someone's naked body. But number one, like that has to be against the Department of Health, right?
And, I would think so.
And also like, how uncomfortable. I don't know. I mean, I just think that's so degrading. I'm also like a woman who is like really looking out in the world to make sure that like everyone's treated all right. But and most people probably aren't that are hiring a naked woman to eat sushi off their body.
Correct.
And like, where do you put the wasabi?
And she is doing it to herself. But it's still, it's still, you want to be really like, you want to know exactly when he's going to be home. And we'll get more to that later. And Carrie notices the Vogue. And then we cut to, I say, a very overly ballooned restaurant.
Mike and I have worked in a restaurant in the past that has had far too many things hanging from the ceilings.
Miranda wonders if Valentine's Day is on steroids this year. And it, you know, Carrie's kind of like, no, you don't think it's that big of a deal when you're actually dating somebody.
Yeah. And I'm never going to work anywhere that makes me wear angel wings.
Yeah, that was a little added treat from Patricia Field, just to make it seem that much more over the top.
And they're at Raoul's, which is a restaurant on Prince Street.
Gotcha. I don't think I've ever been there before. Kim Shaw is the waitress, and the reason why I recognize her is because literally right after this, she had a short but very important run on The Good Wife. And that's all. And of course, everything on the special menu is romantically themed and meant for two people. And of course, she thinks they're a couple. Like, that's not weird. And then Carrie has one of my favorite lines when she talks about looking at the magazine. And she calls herself an emotional cutter.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
Well, I have a friend and I that we always refer to, like, moments like that of, I hurt my own feelings again.
Yeah.
And I let the wedding get bigger than big. I like that.
Yeah, you know, Carrie starts blaming herself, which is bullshit, but I get where it's leading us. And, you know, bigger than big, but I don't know. There's probably this, like, a person's wedding might be bigger than one individual. And right. I know this is not the point. And I get that it's for Carrie to, like, say to Miranda, this was all my fault. I did all these things. I'm the one. So that Miranda takes this moment to let her know what happened.
I said something to Big that I shouldn't have at the rehearsal dinner.
What do you mean?
After Steve showed up, I was really upset. And I bumped into Big. And I said that you two were crazy to get married.
Here we go. Here's Shiraz.
And this scene to me is so brilliantly staged. And it's starting with the wine, where the waitress comes back with the wine, and they,
like,
have to sort of, they have to, like, sit there staring at each other while, like, the squeaky wine opener is going. And then, yeah, Miranda takes the bottle from her. And I say that Carrie swings things a little bit too far in the other direction, but I understand why. That, you know, she's like, I've been going over this, and the whole time you knew what had happened. And then once again, I just love, like, the juxtaposition between Carrie's anger and the balloons. Mm-hmm. And, like, Carrie, like, trying to get her jacket on and, like, trying to go. And the balloons are just sort of everywhere. Like, it's such a great thing that the series used to do, that the movie still does, where it's playing with both sides at the same time. Where it's like, this is a very serious moment, but it's also a very comedic moment. And then, you know, Carrie decides to tell Miranda how she feels.
And I have never, ever kept a secret from you. Ever. No, I'm lying. For the last 5 months, I've been thinking that it is a huge mistake that you left Steve. There. How does it feel?
This reminded me of is it in, like, the thrift store when they have their, like, other fight, their other blowout?
Yeah.
Yeah, and where she's like, 5 months, I think it's a huge mistake you left Steve. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yikes.
But this is the thing that she needs to tell her. Yeah. And it's pretty harsh. And I guess Miranda has a whole bottle of wine.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you waited tables and you've seen, like, the other person not show up and there's just a whole bottle of wine, you know?
Sad. So we go back to Samantha placing the sushi and waiting, and I suddenly have to pee. Because she's just stuck there now. Like, she has to just, like, lay there on this table. And the phone rings and it's Smith. And I say, get up right now. It's LA. It takes forever to get anywhere.
Right. Like, he's going to be at the studio for a little bit longer, which means at least an hour. So you're just going to lay there with, like, number one, you have, like, tuna on your vagine. And number two, that shit's going to spoil. Right? Like, you can't just leave it out. And then she does eventually get up, and she has those great fishbone shoes.
I love that she's committed. And that, of course, right. That was a Patricia Field thing, but it's so perfect. I'll also say that Michael Patrick King wants us to know that he personally placed all the sushi on her.
Oh, was she wearing, like, a vag
he
hat?
Doesn't, I'm sure that she was. He doesn't say anything, but she probably was. And then we have, she was, I just said. She probably was. And then we have more sex with the hot guy next door, except for this time it's deedly dee dee dee.
Two ladies.
There you go.
What, I wasn't going to get that?
No, I know. So Smith arrives home, and I wrote, this scene is not about the sushi.
No.
You think it's funny that I slaved all day in this kitchen to make a lovely meal for you?
You know, she feels like a housewife.
Yeah.
She feels like she stayed at home slaving over a meal.
But she didn't have to do that. And she throws it at him and leaves. She says, enjoy your California fucking handmade roll. And then
I also wrote, she makes little fireworks out of sushi.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, you want a little firework?
What's that from?
Remember when her girlfriend, like, broke all the plates on the ground?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That's what this reminded me of.
Yeah, she's throwing it, and then he pulls out, like, a Russell Stover's collection.
No. I'm like, I guess it's a nice gesture, but...
A Whitman sampler.
Yeah, exactly.
Where there's always that one that you're like, oh, this one's gross. There's, like, God, two that you're really looking forward to. Yeah.
We have an I'm sorry card and flowers and a message from Miranda. Miranda's been calling Carrie for 3 days, and so she just shows up in a cab.
And how long have you been waiting here? $17 long. I like that. That's going to be my new thing.
And then it just turned 18.
Why don't they just go into Carrie's apartment?
I think that Carrie's not ready for that. Yeah. I think Carrie doesn't want her to come in. It was sort of pointed out that a lot of times in New York, you don't have those, like, sort of quiet spaces to go to.
Yeah.
Which I guess is why everyone breaks up at a restaurant. For the record, please don't break up at restaurants.
It's awkward.
Oh, it's so awful.
And then we have to be like, is there anything else I can get for you today other than a new partner?
For the record, in casting, this cab driver is the same cab driver as from the second episode of the series when they talk about Up the Butt.
Oh, when the four girls are in the back, yeah. And he's in the front. Yeah. You know what's so funny you say that? Because I really was like, because he just has that one moment where she says, like, Miranda, forgive Steve. Like, it's not the same thing. It's forgiveness. And he has that moment. And I'm like, that guy's good. Like, that guy gets it. And I love, like, so I'm glad because he's great.
Yeah, it's an interesting little scene that brings us into therapy with Joanna Gleason.
Yes.
Love Joanna Gleason. Tony Award winner for Into the Woods. She was also Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Mm-hmm. She's done a ton of stuff. Yeah. She's so good.
But if you're not a musical theater person and you don't know Into the Woods, you can watch it, right? I don't know where you can stream it, but you should.
Into the Woods used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it is or not.
Don't watch I mean, you can watch the movie one. But
the movie's fine.
But we're talking, like, the original, about the stage production.
Yeah, with Bernadette Peters and
Chip
Joanna
Zion.
Gleason. And, yeah. And you know, it's the...
My
it's,
friend
it's,
Tom is listening right now, and he's like just shouting out the full cast list because he's so mad at me.
And he, you know, she doesn't know if she can trust him again.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know if he can trust her either. How does he know that she won't punish him for the rest of her life?
You don't. And she doesn't know for sure that you won't have another indiscretion. All you can know is that you want to move forward and risk that the love you have for each other won't allow that to happen.
And spring is approaching. We're in Central Park. The therapy sessions are all over.
And we're not allowed to talk to each other for 2 weeks while we figure out if being together again is something that we really want. And then, we had to pick a place to meet, and if we both show up on that day, the past no longer exists. It's like showing up is the promise to each other that we're both willing to let it all go and move forward.
She says that she has a lot of thinking to do, and Carrie brings up feelings, that in the end, you can think about it all you want. You're a lawyer. You can argue it all you want, but what do you feel? Like, what do you want?
Did you have this moment when you were sitting there and I was just watching them? Like, so Mike and I have been quarantining since March, like March 13th, and you know, we've been outside to go to the grocery store and things like that, but you know, mostly quarantine. And they have these sandwiches from Pret a Manger, and I was just sitting there like, I want to just like meet Mike and get a sandwich, and he can get his gluten-free egg toast, and
it is really good.
Yeah,
with the tomato soup to go with it. And then I do like that Miranda points out that it sounds like a great idea, but it could end up with one of them alone feeling on a it could end up with one of them alone feeling rejected on a bridge.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Fair point.
That bridge is pretty crowded though. So
Louise informs Carrie that the Fifth Avenue apartment has sold, and also that Louise is engaged. And I think it's all happening too fast.
Yeah, me too. If there's one thing that they don't take time with on Sex and the City is weddings.
That's very true. So Miranda has made a pro and con list, and we have a foam on the lip throwback, which I guess is, you know, what really matters.
Yeah, that's what, like, reminds her. And
yeah, because once again, it comes down to feeling. Like, do you want to be with this person? And I think that's what nudges her to knowing.
I mean, she's making the list pretty close to, like, when she's meeting or not meeting him.
And then she's on the bridge wondering, but of course there's Steve, and yes, I cry a little.
Yeah, I love this moment. It's great.
And we do see her wedding ring on her right hand in this scene. Just a thing that I noticed.
Is it her right hand, or is it like
it is? He hugs like that. I'm pretty sure. check it out, but I think she's wearing her wedding ring on her right hand. And some girl takes their picture as they walk by.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I can't tell if it's an extra or not, but yeah, she has a little, her little portable camera there.
Whenever you say extra, I keep thinking like that's like not the correct term. And I want to be like, Mike, it is an additional performer. Like, I don't know why, but it's just like, it's extra. Yeah.
That's how PC Elise is.
Yeah.
It's called Line Challenged. And then Miranda never looked back and then into a sex joke. Ba-dum-bum. But it was meant just to show that, like, Miranda and Steve, you know, got their groove back.
Right. It's, like, it's a very interesting, like, position. And, like, his hand is, like, I feel like he's trying to, like, pull it off her crotch. They don't have to make
it. He's just helping her be modest.
Yeah. He's just a modesty panel. A modesty hand.
So we're back in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And Samantha's reading The Secret. And then she just throws it. And I'm like, don't just throw your book.
Well, she wants to see Dante's D. Well, the dog does first.
Yeah, her dog goes running and leads her right up to an outdoor shower, which I guess is a thing in LA. And he's naked and posing. He's sort of twisting and posing.
And she's just watching and like then a perv.
Yeah, I want to be like, she's transfixed.
Yeah, she does this so often.
I'm your next door neighbor, and my dog ran up on your dick. Dick!
Pretty good.
And he's pretty much just like, anytime you want to come over.
Yeah, he's like, do you want to join? And this is when we found out that his name is Dante. Mm-hmm. And now I guess it's officially spring. And Carrie's apartment looks great, but I still don't think it's the best place to throw a shower. It's very small and has one bathroom.
Yeah, no, but who cares?
It's a much more grown-up apartment. Carrie's back to being blonde.
The colors are bright.
Anthony has violently threatened one of the guests.
A woman put a glass down on your new desk without a coaster. I said, if you do it again, I'm going to break your friggin' arm.
Yeah, Miranda wonders where Samantha is, and she shows up with a rat in her purse. Mm-hmm. And now we reveal Samantha's incredibly out-of-shape body.
Yeah, I was just like, wait, is this, like, I mean, really, all it looks like is her pants are too small, but it's at all. And then I even went on to read that, like, this was a body double. And I'm like, God, yeah, for 15 pounds that, like, I mean, it's so outrageous to me, this whole plot of, like, Samantha being so out of shape that the girls can, like, this isn't enough weight that you would joke about it. You know what I mean? Like, this is such a small amount of weight that you might, when she left to be a real asshole, be like, did Samantha gain a couple pounds?
And I wonder if any of them would have said anything if Anthony hadn't have come out and been like, what's up with the gut?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot. I mean, and also, if you had gained a little bit of weight, you would never wear, like, a low-rise pant with, like, a tight blouse.
So Samantha says that she eats, so she won't cheat. And I don't exactly know what to do with this scene, but we'll just go with it.
Yeah. And I'm just so mad how big she is.
And the waiters in the background are like, can we just go? Like, what?
Yeah, they're like, this party sucks.
And she stuffs her face to stop from doing something that feels natural to her.
Stuffing my face feels natural to me.
Yeah, for real. Samantha wonders if relationships are always about being happy. Like, sometimes it is going to be struggle. And she asks how often, you know, someone else is happy. And of course, Carrie's like, I think this is for you, Charlotte. And Charlotte feels happy every day.
Not all day.
Every day. Yeah.
I can agree with that.
And Samantha hasn't felt happy in 6 months, which Miranda thinks is normal for LA. And I do think it's relevant that Samantha brings up her chemo. Because I can't imagine being in a relationship with someone who was with you through something that traumatic. Right. And having the thought of, like, I can't leave that person. Mm-hmm. Like, we went through all of that together. But of course, you know, there's no one reason to stay with someone. There's mm-hmm. no one thing that means that, like,
right, but of course,
this is forever.
Right, but of course she's probably like, I don't want him to think that I only, you know.
Right, and the dog is humping her $300 pillow. And I'm like, if you have a $300 pillow,
it should get humped.
I don't want to come to your mind. It should get humped. That pillow was asking for it. So Smith gets home and Samantha is there and she needs to talk. And he knew this was coming. This isn't working.
I love you, but I love me more. Hasn't she said this before?
She said it to Richard.
Yeah. Get a new line. You need some new
material. She says, I love you. She says, yeah, it's in a slightly different, but I think probably it's meant to be a callback. Mm. And, you know, it was important to Michael Patrick King that Sam didn't cheat.
Right.
And I think that it does show something about her, that she was always one that's like, it's just cheating. Like, if dogs could lick their balls, you know, like that whole thing. And I think it was important in this moment to show that she has had some growth. And I think this conversation would suck. But of course, it's also very honest. We have the talk of, like, there is a right way to break up with someone and there's a wrong way. And even when it's the right way, it hurts and it sucks. Mm-hmm. But, like, at least this is honest. At least they're really talking about it. And we get to the ring, and honestly, I do get emotional again here, where she says, every time I look at this ring, I'll think of you. And that's now become a good thing. That's now become like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And some love stories aren't epic novels. And I love that. I love all the sentiment of this moment. I think is really, really beautifully done. And she's on a plane back to New York City, and Sarah Gettelfinger just wants her dish back.
Yeah, she wants her. Sarah Gettelfinger, who was the original Little Edie in the off-Broadway production of Great Gardens.
And she was also in the original production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and the revival of Nine.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, she wants that pudding dish back. Put your tray table up. We're going to land. And, you know, one thing that I did notice throughout this movie is that Samantha does a lot of, like, spoon work. She does a lot of, like, scraping spoons with puddings and custards and yogurts.
She's hungry.
She's a hungry girl. Good for her.
Louise is showing all the hidden compartments before she goes.
St. Louise, you brought me back to life, and you gave me Louise Vuitton.
And Louise found her love, so she's leaving the love keychain with Carrie, this very simple keychain that I'm sure you could pick up on any street corner.
How much was it?
$6,800.
Right.
I don't want to know that I have a keychain that is $6,800.
Yeah. When I went to Bermuda, a friend of mine bought a keychain that was like $30, and I still give him a hard time for it because it's a
keychain.
It's a keychain.
It's very upsetting.
Yeah. And like, why did they feel like I'm kind of mad at Sex and the City for this, because I'm like, did you spend $6,800 on that keychain for this? Because I hope that you didn't, and you just bought, like, you paid for every single person to take a cab home.
No, this piece of jewelry is done by H. Stern, and H. Stern donated like $800,000 worth of jewelry or something.
Howard
like that.
Stern?
So, yes, Howard Stern. No, H. Stern's a big jewelry company, and they donated a lot, so I'm sure they didn't pay for it. It still makes me crazy that it was that expensive.
Whoever owns that, I hate them. Like, if you bought that, I hate you.
Oh, hate. You can also get a knockoff for, like, $30, which is too expensive for Elise even, but it's less than $6,800. So Charlotte's taking herself out to lunch, and she has a moment after Bridget Regan seats her. So this actress was on Agent Carter in The Last Ship, and she was on all of Jane the Virgin. Once again, I think it's fun that she has, like, one line in this. For the record, this scene was also the very first day of filming.
Oh, wow.
This is the first thing they filmed. And Charlotte... And by Charlotte, I mean Kristen Davis, was very concerned. She was like, everyone's going to see me pregnant. It's the first day of shooting. And then I mostly bring up Bridget Regan as the hostess because I have to bring up Dreama Walker, who plays the waitress who offers her a drink. Because Dreama Walker was the person that shouldn't trust the bee in Apartment 23. Remember that TV series?
Yeah.
Don't trust the bee in Apartment
23.
So she's the roommate of that person. She also, more to the point, was a hostess at a restaurant that I used to work at. And I remember seeing this movie with our friend Annabelle, who also worked with her, and being like, oh, look, it's Dreama. That's exciting. Also, fun fact, this was being filmed right across the street from a Catholic high school.
Mm.
And right when they came out, there was a fire drill. And so all these Catholic high schoolers came out onto the sidewalk and, of course, noticed Chris Noth and yelled, we're like, we love you, Mr. Big.
Oh.
And Chris, yeah, well, Chris Noth said, aren't you supposed to be in school? And one of them responded, abso-fucking-lutely. And I wanted to call her parents.
This reminds me of the one time that I was helping a friend who was doing like a student film. And we were doing it outside in the East Village. And it happened to be during SantaCon, which for those of you who do not know what SantaCon is, it's in New York City during like November, where everyone just gets super drunk and goes bar hopping dressed as Santa Claus. So, like, how do you explain in the background of any video why there's just hundreds of Santas?
It's like the worst day of the year.
It's really awful.
It's so terrible.
Like, restaurants get so mad. They're like, and they try to pass it off as like a charity thing. And I think they do donate money to charity. So, but what ends up happening is like these people just get so drunk that they, you know, they pee on the streets and they get in fights and the restaurants have like no Santas on the door.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. So a big tells her not to run and she kind of turns around and lets him have it. And it's really pretty good.
Yeah, she practiced and she did good. Practice makes perfect.
And she gets to use her line and then her water breaks.
Her water breaks and she's like trying to figure out what to do. And the big's like, get in my car. And eventually she does go.
And we get to the hospital. It's obviously a bit later. Carrie arrives looking great, for the record. She is wearing the same shoes in this scene that she wore when she first saw the apartment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Harry is there, and they had a girl. They have a rose to go with their lily.
Mama Rose.
It's also Harry's booby's name.
Yep.
So I guess that makes sense there.
Rose Gold.
And this is where... Yes. This is where Charlotte tells her what happened.
My water broke while I was standing in front of a restaurant. Well, it's very dramatic.
Wait, she's not done.
It broke while I was talking to Big. What?
See? Drama.
I ran into him and I got so upset my water broke.
And, you know, she says that I think he was hoping to see you. But you know what? Carrie does not make this moment about her, which I think is worth mentioning.
Oh, wow.
Because I think once upon a time, Carrie would have been like, of course he showed up. Of course he sat there. What should I do? Should I call? You know?
Right.
I think it's telling that in this moment, she's like, not about me.
Right.
You had a baby. And I like that. I think we see growth there.
Yeah.
And then as they exit, Harry says, you know, Big asked me to ask you to call him. And that he felt bad for him. And he's been writing her. And Carrie's like, he has not written me. I've received nothing from him.
I'm like, you idiot. Louise showed you two manila envelopes full of unread mail. And you specifically said, like, hide everything he's ever said to me. You're a dumbass.
Well, I wrote, I have to remember that more time has passed for her than for me as a movie watcher.
Oh, and I just wrote, Carrie, you're dumb.
Right. One of us is coming from a place of grace.
One of us is coming from a place of not.
Carrie goes home and starts going through all the unopened mail and then email. And yes, of course, I knew exactly how this was going to go. But once again, we're watching a movie. We saw the important parts. Right. She saw all the parts. And she calls Louise to find out what the password is. And then she dumps the stuff on the ground. The keychain is there. And it's all emails. And all the subjects are love letter. He's retyped all the love letters of great men, plus one.
His own.
Yeah, and the last letter was sent on February 15th. And it just says, I know I screwed up, but I will love you forever. And part of me feels like I will love you forever was enough of a message, but I screwed up does feel very Mr. Big.
Yeah.
I also noticed that her email address is not ShoeGal anymore.
No, it's Carrie@CarrieBradshaw.com. Yeah. Louise redid that website. That is her baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Louise made it nice. So Carrie wants to call him, but she stops. Their love stops her. Mm-hmm. And she's about to delete all of the emails when Louise calls back. And I wrote, Louise calls from a wedding gown fitting. So I'm guessing her wedding is later that night.
Yeah. Louise calls from a wedding gown fitting, which means she's late for the wedding.
Yeah, which means the wedding is already in progress. Get to your wedding. And yeah, I don't know who it is that says, that dress makes your boobies look big.
Yeah, I think it's like probably her niece or her little sister.
Probably, something like that. And she just reminds Carrie, hey, it's the closing day on Fifth Avenue. You got to get there. And Carrie's like, I don't need to go there. I don't need to see that place again.
She's
and
like, get those shoes.
Louise is like, yeah, you have shoes there. Go pick up those shoes. I think Louise is like, those shoes are worth like $375.
And
Carrie's like, they're actually $525. In reality, those shoes were worth $600. Michael Patrick King thought that sounded too extravagant, so he changed the price for the script. $600 for shoes. It's fine.
Well, also, I want to be like, Louise, you spent $6,800 on a keychain.
I know. Nuts.
So then Carrie goes outside and yells for a taxi.
Thank you. All right. I wasn't sure who was going to bring it up. But yeah, she screams for that taxi, but it works. The taxi stops.
And
she's back at the apartment.
And we have a very Carrie Bradshaw moment where she says, the light in the pre-war apartment looked especially different post-war.
Did you like that or you just rolled your eyes?
I just rolled that. It's just a bit much, Carrie.
And she opens the closet door and there's Big with the shoes.
And he's there
and it wasn't logic. It was love.
The one label that never goes out of style.
And I assume while they're laying there, the locks have been changed.
Or I was wondering, do they end up like getting the apartment back? Or am I going to find that out in two?
No, I don't think that they do. But so in this moment, though, they have a conversation that I get and also kind of bothers me. Because it's the conversation of like, why did we decide to get married? And I guess we were afraid it would mean something if we didn't. And I just sort of feel like if we want to make the point about it all went too far, that's fine. But I don't like the point of we shouldn't have decided to get married. Because the getting married wasn't the problem.
Right. And it was important to Carrie. So, like, what I hate about that is what happens a lot is, like, his idea, like, he didn't want to get married. She did want to get married. And so now we're kind of saying, like, why did you want to do this? Because what I wanted to do was the better thing anyway.
And even in the commentary, Michael Patrick King keeps saying, I really wanted to establish that they were fine until they did what society wanted them to do. And I'm like,
but they never were.
No. Yeah, they weren't fine. Like, I don't know. I don't give into it. And I guess it turns out fine because, of course, all of a sudden, Big is on one knee and he has no diamonds. So he gives her the shoe, the blue shoe, much like the blue shoe that Carrie was drawing in the little coloring book way earlier on in the movie. And I guess we have the continuation of the Cinderella theme as Carrie steps into the shoe and the shoe fits. And in the end, we end up in City Hall with a labelless dress that isn't really a labelless dress.
Nope.
And ever mine, ever thine, ever ours. He hopes it's okay that it was just them, because it's too bad the girls weren't here.
Surprise!
And I will say that apparently the sequence was written to be set outside, but they didn't want to give the ending away, so they brought the girls inside and have it take place in the hallway. And they go to a diner. And, you know, I guess this scene could have been interpreted as like, look, it's just a group out at a diner. But this is their new reception, and I don't want Samantha to feed the dog from the table, but I'm not in charge here.
And they're at Junior's.
Is that where it is?
And the waitress, I believe, is Lisa Crone.
Oh, I would have to look at that. I did not notice her.
And you know what she's done?
Yes, she was well.
She wrote the music and, or she wrote the lyrics and book for Fun Home.
Yes. Before that, she'd done well.
Oh, I thought you were just, I was like, you know what she's done. And I thought you were like, yes, well, maybe I don't. So I was like, oh, okay. And In the Wake.
Yes. She's a playwright in general. And it's just everyone out to dinner and are Anthony and Stanford together? Who knows?
Yeah,
they're sitting at the table together.
I wasn't sure about that. Yeah. And then
stay tuned.
Right. And then there's that, like, why is it that we were willing to write our own vows but not our own rules? And that's just in the talking about like that they didn't have to get married so big.
Well, she's doing a reading from a book that she's working on.
Right.
And we get a couldn't help but wonder. Mm-hmm. And the point is made that she got her own glasses, so she's seeing for herself now. I guess that's our nice little metaphor there. And the girls are all done up and going maybe to the Apple store. They're
yes.
not. Well, it's very strange and very bright, and it's trickery. So I'm not sure the order to say this in, but we'll skip it over. We'll skip over the facts of it and just say, you know, they end up out having some drinks, having some Cosmopolitans, which we hadn't seen all episode.
Mm-mm.
And why did we stop drinking these?
Because everyone else started.
Yeah. And it's Samantha's 50th birthday.
Yes.
And she blows out those candles. I'm like, we don't blow candles out anymore.
Thank you. I wrote that down. I said to Samantha, 50 and fabulous. I got nervous with her blowing on that cake.
Yeah, don't blow candles out. We don't. That's,
like,
that's,
what do we
that's
do
the thing
now?
Of the past now. We can wave them.
Okay.
That's one. I've seen that done before.
Really? Or we like get one of those like personal fans.
Or just like a fire extinguisher.
And there, in the same city where they met as girls, four New York women entered the next phase of their lives, dressed head to toe in love. And that's the one label that never goes out of style.
And that's kind of the end, as the camera sort of pans away. And I guess what I'll point out is, well, so here's, we end up on 9th Avenue between 13th and 14th. And you can see Spice Market back when it was Spice Market. It is now a Dean and DeLuca, but probably not even that anymore.
No, I think they all closed.
The restaurant where they are used to be the Gaslight Bar, but looks nothing like where they were and is now a Dior pop-up store. But it's neither of those things. They actually filmed this upstairs at the Diane von Furstenberg store and then just did CGI to make it look like they were in a basement of some bar on that corner. I spent literally an hour trying to figure this out. And once I figured out where they were and where we were looking, it was so obvious because, like, that's the Ganzevoort Hotel right there on the left.
Right, because that corner between 13th and 14th on 9th is now where, like, that super fancy CVS is, right?
Right, and, like, if you look down the street to your right is the old Pastis. So Carrie made her phone convert, like, it's just all right there. And it took me forever to figure it out, but it's all very, very easy once I found it. And a lot of people don't care about this location stuff, but I spent a lot of time looking into it.
A lot of people do care, Mike. People really like it. They like the work you do.
Good to know. Thank you. We're looking downtown on 9th Avenue. That's all you need to know. So Sex and the City was made for a $65 million budget.
Wow.
Pretty expensive. Yeah. It opened at over $57 million and went on to make over $152 million in the U.S. alone and over $418 million worldwide.
Okay, so they recouped.
They made most of their money back. They did okay. But yeah, when they went to make it, actually, HBO said they couldn't afford it. HBO said they couldn't afford to produce the film on their own, so they had to partner with New Line Cinema.
HBO is eating their hat now.
Yeah, wishing they had just like spent the money. Exactly. So there you go. That's the movie. And I remember seeing it the day it came out. Our friend Annabelle and I went to a little restaurant near the AMC. It's now a Rag and Bone. It's not a restaurant anymore. We had a Cosmopolitan. Yes, we were those ladies. And then went and saw it at the AMC near Lincoln Center. And I really loved it. I thought they did a great job. I don't think it's perfect. There are things. I at some point had to make peace with the fact that I don't get Carrie and Big.
Mm.
So yeah. I don't get what happened to them. I don't get the getting back to, I don't get it, but I just don't get them.
Yeah,
and that's
fine.
And
I think that's a lot of it too, is like just understanding and watching this being like, we don't always know what, you know, cause you and I both have like relationships in our lives, whether they're romantic or not romantic, that other people are like, I don't get that. Right. And it's like, everyone has those relationships, whether it's like that friend that keeps like, you know, not showing up, or the ex-boyfriend that you've remained friends with, like all of these things, like everyone has those. And you just have to come to terms that like, no one knows what is best for you except you. And
right.
Not everyone knows the whole story. And yeah, I mean, I do like Carrie and Big. I just think Big is afraid. I think he's just a man that's like completely afraid and doesn't know how to act. And hopefully, and I think Carrie is a woman that also is afraid and doesn't know how to act and thinks she knows what's best for other people. And they both are kind of learning that they don't know that. And I'm happy, Miranda. I think I like the way this ended. It was a happy ending. And you know what? Like, I've been doing, since I do a lot of work with the podcast and stuff, I remember seeing something about Miranda and Steve on the Brooklyn Bridge and just assuming it was something that happened during the series. And I don't know if it does happen during the series when they're on the Brooklyn Bridge, or maybe I just like was like, oh, I must have missed that. And then when I heard Miranda talking to Carrie in Central Park, I was like, oh, shit, I know what happens. And to be honest, there were many times when I would like, when people would send me like links on Instagram or something like that, and I would click on it, and I would see that picture of like Carrie hitting Big with the flowers, right? Because you can't avoid it. So I knew that something happened, but I was genuinely shocked that they got back together.
Yeah, I think that there are ways in which the movie ends almost more honestly than the TV series did. Like, you know, and not to say that Samantha's relationship wasn't honest, but it made sense to me in the end that she would say, this isn't what I want out of my life.
Like, for sure, yeah. I don't think, yeah, at all. I was not like, yeah, no. I totally would not think that they would stay together. Like, I thought it was a weird relationship.
And I like that Charlotte's drama is, you know, in a way lower drama, but it's still drama. I know she has a relationship and that's working out great, but she still has her struggles. But, it, you know, not everyone was like going through it.
Right.
I thought it was, I think it was important that one person was mostly happy.
Yeah, I think that's, I like that it was Charlotte because I feel like in the series she had a lot of drama.
So there you go. There's the movie. It's pretty good. We have another movie to get through.
Which
and
I hear isn't as good.
Not quite as good. I'll make an argument for parts of it when we get there, but we're still going to do it. I promise. We're still going to do it. And it won't be 6 months
no,
until we get there.
Now
I promise.
That we know how to do this.
Mostly.
Now that we know how to do this mostly, I've been like sitting on my bedroom floor for 4+ hours at this point. So I don't know. And I also have hives currently, you guys. So if you ever hear me like itching or going, it's because I have hives. We don't know why yet. More will be revealed. I couldn't help but wonder if they ever got their food, like if they ordered it, because like this is before Seamless Web, so you probably couldn't call and say like they can't blame it on Seamless. Like they don't seem concerned. What did they order?
Watch the extended cut and you'll find out.
Oh, all right.
I couldn't help, it's been a long time since I've seen, I mean I've seen this many times, so I'm trying to think of something new for me. I couldn't help but wonder why Big just couldn't get out of the damn car.
Yeah.
So, yours is funnier than mine.
Always.
But there you go. Thank you all for being patient.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. Thanks for being there.
We love you all.
And we'll be back soon. I'm going to say we'll be back like in a month.
Yeah, we'll be back sooner than later.
Yeah, with the second movie. And we'll have more to say then. All right. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye, Elise. It's been fun hanging out with you.
It's been fun hanging out with you. And follow us on all of our social media, because we're going to get back into that too.
Yes.
We took a break.
It's pronounced Mija.
Mija.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series, so check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe and let's all take care of each other.
I want to say it's like their lamb burger. I don't like, they only make a certain number of them at it's in Soho. I could be wrong, but I thought it was like they are known for their like lamb burger. But anyway, or maybe it's just they're known for their burger and it's not a lamb burger, it's just a burger.
Fascinating.
Thank you. Sorry, I just want to say that I'm right about something. It's not a lamb burger, but they only have 12 every night of the burger, and they're only served at the bar. So that's it. I just didn't want you to think I'm a complete idiot.
I still do. It doesn't
okay,
matter.
Thank you.
Kim Crawford, is that? That's not her name. That's a wine. Is it Kim Crawford?
I think it is. Or Kim. It's Kim. Kim Cattrall.
Kim Crosby is her name. So Louise is showing Carrie all the hidden compartments before she goes, compartments?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Louise
is... why do I have that dress makes your boobies look big? Mike just cracked his neck and it was loud.
I did.
Could you fart on the cake or would that...
That would just explode.
Oh, because of the methane.
Yeah. This is what a great way to end this recording.
Could you fart on the cake? Oh, no.